here. I'm really excited about this. And I've been studying on it. And now, chapter number 3, I have had people tell me that this is a very hard chapter to understand. And just reading it, honestly, and unless you know what's going on here, it is hard to understand. But when you put all this together, when you remember what's going on here, that Paul wrote this to the churches of Galatia. And the Judaizers had come into those churches up there and were telling them that you were not saved by faith alone. You were saved by faith plus works. Okay, they were mixing law and grace. Okay, and law and grace don't mix. It's either one or the other, but it can't be both. I mean, it just can't be by grace and works, because then it wouldn't be by grace at all. So you can't have these two together. So what Paul is doing here, now remember, chapters 1 and 2 were personal. Chapters 3 and 4 are doctrinal. Now, that doesn't mean there's no doctrine in 1 and 2. But 1 and 2 is basically more personal, and then he gets right into the doctrine here. There are three words that are repeated frequently here in chapters 3 and 4. Those words are faith, law, and promise. Faith, law, and promise, mentioned several times. Now, in these next, or in these chapters, we've looked at just the first few verses here, but in these chapters, Paul is going to present six arguments, three arguments in chapter 3 and three arguments in chapter number 4, seeking to prove that salvation is by grace, through faith, apart from the works of the law. Now, the first argument is the personal argument. That's 1 through 5. We looked at we were down there in verse number 3. But here's what Paul is basically saying here. Let's go ahead and read these again. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And that word bewitched means like cast a spell on. Now we know that nobody can bewitch somebody else. Okay, Satan has powers, yes. But he's not talking about these Judaizers. They really did cast a spell on them. It was just that these people had become blind to the truth. It was like their mind was in a fog and they couldn't think clearly. Okay, they were not looking at things like they should. They had fallen into the trap of Satan and had got them off course in their thinking. Okay, so then he says that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So what Paul is doing is he's taking them back to the time when they got saved. And he's reminding them, did I come preaching salvation through works or salvation through faith? How were you saved? Okay, if you are saved, then you received the Holy Spirit of God at that time. And how did you receive the Holy Spirit of God? Was it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, placing your faith in Him? Or did I come preaching works that you had to do this and you had to do this and you had to do this? So just reminding them that they had received the Spirit, and that was the evidence of salvation, according to Romans 8:9, by the hearing of faith and by the believing of the Word of God, not by obeying some law. Okay, now, Paul's reminding them that the gospel he had preached, they had believed that. They had gotten saved. God changed their life. And so for them to go back to the law after all the Holy Spirit of God had done for them was literally to act like fools. He says, O foolish Galatians. He's basically saying, you're acting like fools. He wasn't calling them fools. He said, you're acting like a fool. By being very foolish, you received the Jesus Christ as your Savior. You received the Holy Spirit of God. That's evidence of being saved. And you did all that by faith. So why in the world now are you going back and putting yourself in bondage again to the law? That's what he's trying to remind them. Okay, now he says, verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain. Now, verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, here's what he's reminding them of in verse number 4. They had willingly suffered for their faith. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? They had been willing to suffer for their faith. And then he says, if it yet be in vain. In other words, it's not really in vain that you have suffered. In other words, he says, have you suffered for nothing? That's what he's asking them. I mean, has that all been in vain? Then he says, if it yet be in vain. In other words, if it was not, it would basically be like saying, have you done this? Okay. Is everything you've done, all the suffering you've done, for absolutely no good reason? I mean, is it absolutely worth nothing? And then he said, if it be yet in vain. In other words, it's not really. That's kind of how he's saying, all the things that you did suffer are not in vain. That's what he would be saying there. So then verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, here's what he's asking them. All of the things that God has accomplished through the ministers there in the churches, all of the miracles that have been done, how were they done? Were they done through the Spirit of God, or were they done through the keeping of the law? That's what he says. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Obviously, God had worked there in the church. Now, think about this. Paul and Barnabas had been the ones preaching up there. Remember now, in Galatia is where they stoned Paul, drug him out of the city dead. I think he was dead. And then God raised him right back up. I've seen a video of people being stoned to death. Believe me, it wasn't a pretty thing. It was a secret video. I mean, that somebody took, and if they would have ever saw him taking it, then they would have been killed for that. But it was about persecution. So when they stoned Paul, they thought he was dead. That means he was laying there and he was lifeless. And they drug him out of the city. And then they just, left him out there. They thought he was dead, just left him out there. And then the Bible says he got right back up. And he went right back in the city and kept on preaching. Then he talks about going to heaven, the third heaven. I think that's when it happened. During that time when he was dead, God took him to heaven, showed him some things, then raised him back up. Now, we've said this before, but something had to keep Paul going. He was beaten 39 times, five different times. That's 195 lashes. Many times they died way before they were through with the 39 lashes. And he suffered that 5 times. They say, history says, Paul wasn't like a big man. He was probably a small man, not real strong physically. But yet he endured that. He endured being shipwrecked. He floated out in the ocean on a board for a day and a half. That'd be pretty scary. He was beaten with rods, besides being beaten with the cat o' nine tails that they beat him with. And what kept Paul going? I think it was this event right here. God took him to heaven, showed him heaven, and that kept Paul going because he knew what he had waiting for him. And he knew what others would have waiting for them if they would receive Christ. He loved the Galatians. And now these Judaizers are there taking advantage of them, trying to bring them back into bondage. If they were saved and they did start believing that you had to do works also, that wouldn't cancel out their salvation, would it? But it would rob them of their joy, wouldn't it? Because if you believe you have to work enough to be saved, then you're never going to be happy. And you're never going to have the assurance. Because down deep in your heart, you're always going to wonder this: have I done enough? Have I worked enough? And what's enough? Where's that described at? Enough. No. So it was putting them right back in bondage here. And Paul was hitting this thing head on. So everything in their personal experience pointed to one fact. Salvation is by grace, not by the law. Paul's reminding them of all of that. And hey, you know what? That's a good truth for Christians today. Because many Christians go through life doubting their salvation. They truly get saved, and then somehow they don't get grounded in their faith or their because of previous teachings or something. Somebody comes to their house and confuses them. And so they think, I got saved by grace, but now it's up to me to keep it. Well, that doesn't even make any sense, does it? God says, okay, you get saved by grace through faith, but then you got to keep yourself saved. That's stupid. If we can't do anything to get saved, then it's obviously we can't do anything to stay saved, right? So many people need to understand this same lesson right here. It is by grace through faith that we're saved. Okay? Now, so that's the personal argument. Again, Paul is three arguments in chapter 3, three arguments in chapter number 4 to try to prove to these people that salvation is by grace alone, apart from the works of the law. So now you come to a part here probably that would be hard to understand if you didn't really know what's going on here. And that's the scriptural argument, the personal argument and the scriptural argument. Now, by saying scriptural, I am not suggesting that the first part was not scriptural. But what I'm simply saying is this. Paul is going to use scripture. He's going to use the Old Testament to prove to these Christians, these Gentile Christians, that you are saved, that even the Old Testament teaches that you're saved by grace through faith. Okay? And that's what he's going to do. All right? So, he's going to look at several different things here, things that he brings out here to prove, again, salvation is by grace, not by works of the law. Verse number 6, look at this, 6 and 7. Even as Abraham, now isn't that something? I remember this, Paul is a master at what he's about to do. Besides Jesus Christ, maybe Paul was the greatest at taking scripture, taking people, taking events, taking things, and using those to teach a lesson. Okay, Abraham, now think about this now. The Judaizers are teaching them you must be saved by grace. Look up here, if you would. All right, everybody look at the door real quick. We'll see who's coming in. Everybody's going to do it anyway. Okay, all right. It's the rest of the Sanders clan. All right. God bless y'all. We had to all look, Brother David, and see who's coming in. All right. Now, back up here. Okay. All right. Remember, the Judaizers are teaching you're saved by grace through faith, but you've got to become a Jew first. You've got to be circumcised. You have to, and that's what they were teaching. You have to be circumcised and you have to keep the rituals, all the rules and all the laws and all of that of Judaism, plus put your faith and trust in Christ. So what does Abraham do? He goes back to the father of the Jews and proves that Abraham was saved by grace through faith. Now I'm going to show you something here. Abraham was a Gentile when Abraham got saved. He wasn't even a Jew when he got saved. And God had not even given him the covenant of circumcision yet. So he was a Gentile and he was not even circumcised. And the Bible says he was saved. Okay? So that's what Paul's going to prove here. Okay? And again, the Judaizers, they pointed to Abraham, the father of the Jews, as their example. Paul says this, okay, fine. I'll use your own example and prove that you're wrong. They went to Abraham, so does Paul. look at, okay, we got to go back now. We're going to have, now this is again what Paul's doing. He's using Old Testament scripture, okay? Now understand, they didn't have the New Testament, okay? Some things were written, but it wasn't all put together yet, okay? But the Old Testament, they had that, okay? Because that was written a long time before. All right, so we have to go back to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, first of all. Genesis chapter number 12. And again, Abraham's a Gentile here. He's not even a Jew yet. Abraham's a Gentile. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, okay, that was his name before God changed it to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now understand, Abraham didn't have any children when God gave him that verse. God said, in thee are all the families in the world going to be blessed. Now, you got to go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Let's go to chapter 15, verse 1. 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, that means he took him outside, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now look at this. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now you're not righteous until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And according to Isaiah chapter number 61, let me look here. Isaiah, I wrote that scripture down here. Let's just look over there. Isaiah 61. I don't see where I wrote it down. Isaiah chapter 61. Turn over there if you would. Isaiah chapter 61:10. Thank you. Isaiah 61 and verse number 10. This is as plain as you can get, and this is Old Testament. Isaiah 61:10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So, what are the garments of salvation? It's the robe of righteousness. And you only put on the robe of righteousness when you trust Christ as your Savior. That's how you become righteous. So if the Bible says that Abraham was righteous, that means that he trusted Christ as his Savior. As a Gentile, by faith, the Judaizers were saying, no, you have to be like Abraham. You have to become a Jew. Abraham was saved when he was a Gentile. And Abraham was saved before God even gave him the covenant of circumcision. God didn't give him the covenant of circumcision until he was 99 years old. Okay? And that was, and we'll look at some scriptures about that, but that was a covenant between God and the Jews, between God and Israel. Very, very plain. Between God and Israel. That was that covenant. Okay? So, this is what Paul is doing here. Now, you say, yeah, but they didn't even know the gospel back then. Not according to Scripture. or in the scripture they did. Look back to Galatians. Look back to Galatians chapter number 8. Galatians 3:8. Galatians 3, that's verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now that's what it says. What is the gospel? It's the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God preached the good news of the Savior to Abraham. You say, where did that happen? Well, it happened in here, in this lesson, where God said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he was childless. So obviously, God let him understand what would happen in the future. Now, did Abraham understand everything? Did he foresee everything that would happen in the future? I don't believe so. Even the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and all them, they didn't foresee everything either. But God preached the good news of the Savior, Jesus Christ, to Abraham in all of this, taking him outside and showing him all of this and showing him that one of these days, through you, Abraham, the world will be blessed. And then the Bible says that he preached the gospel unto him, the good news of the gospel. Now, people, here's what people do. They say, yeah, but I don't understand that, so it must be. Don't forget all the I don't understand that, and it must be, and it must be. Just take Scripture for what it says. Scripture says God preached to him the good news of the Savior. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news. And the Bible says Abraham believed it. And the Bible says it was accounted unto him for righteousness. When you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, it was accounted unto us for righteousness. And we received the robe of the righteousness of Christ. That's the garments of salvation. That's exactly what happened to Abraham. As a Gentile and before the covenant of circumcision even came into play. Let me just say this. I tell you what, let's go over to Romans chapter number 4. We need to go over there. Romans chapter number 4. And again, here's another thing you have to understand. We don't have to try to figure everything out. We just believe what the Bible says. And you know there's some things that you and I don't know. Do you know that yet? There's some things we don't know. We don't know everything about everything that happened, do we? We have written down what God wanted us to know, and that's obviously what we need to know. Look at Romans chapter number 4. He says this, Romans 4. Now this will help you here, okay? What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Now again, I said a while ago, he is preaching. I said this is a scriptural argument, and we're using the Old Testament as Scripture, and the Apostle Paul calls the Old Testament Scripture right there. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We just read that. Genesis chapter number 15. While Abraham was a Gentile, and circumcision wasn't even given yet. Abraham wasn't circumcised. Abraham didn't even have any kids yet. So Abraham wasn't circumcised, neither was his kids. He didn't have any yet. Okay? Then it says, verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So obviously, Abraham believed on him that justifieth the ungodly. Because it says his faith is counted for righteousness, and doesn't the Bible says that he believed in the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness? He believed. That's faith. He put his faith in, according to this, on him that justifieth the ungodly. Guess what, folks? That's what I did, and that's what you did if you're saved. Here's the cross. Use this for an illustration in history. Here we are on this side of the cross. We put our faith on him that justifieth the ungodly, and it was accounted unto us. We heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and we believed on him that justifieth the ungodly, and it was accounted unto us for righteousness, and we got the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation. Listen, according to Scripture, that's exactly what Abraham did way back over here. Now, when you put all these Scriptures together, that's what it says. You can't come up with anything else. So what did Abraham do? Obviously, the Lord preached unto him the gospel, the good news of his son, and he said it was accounted unto him for righteousness. How does it get accounted for righteousness? You, by faith, put right here, you believe on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. So Abraham's faith is what brought him to righteousness. That's what faith is, the key. Without faith, there is no salvation. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And not of works. It is the gift of God. That's what it says. It says some other things there too, but we'll just use that part of the Scripture there. Now, go on down to verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Wow, there's King David. Same thing. David understood that righteousness didn't come by works, that we were saved by grace through faith, saying, verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now go down to verse, I tell you what, we just need to keep on reading. Verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now, hold your place. Well, if you want to come back there with me, we're going to come back. Okay, Genesis. Go back to Genesis 15, if you will. Genesis chapter number 15. This is where we read verse 6. Genesis 15, 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. All right? That's 15, 6. Now, go to two chapters over. Chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And he goes all the way, look at verse number 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, he's talking to him, calling him Abraham there now. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not thy seed. Okay, and then he goes on and gives instructions here. Okay, and then down, of course, down in later on in chapter 17, he says that he's going to bless his wife, changes her name, and he said, I'll give thee a son of her. Okay, so now look at the timeline. Genesis chapter 12, he tells Abraham to leave. Okay, leave his house, leave his kindred. Ur of the Chaldees, that's there in Iraq, where the Tigris and Euphrates River come together. That's where wars have been going on. We got American soldiers there right now, the same area. They left and then, of course, eventually went up towards to what is now the Promised Land, Israel. Of course, we know that story, right? Genesis chapter number 15, he takes Abraham outside, tells him, look up the stars, talks to him about how God's going to bless him. And all of and the Bible says there, and it says he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis chapter 15. Two chapters later is where God gives Abraham the covenant of circumcision. So these Judaizers say, you have to become a Jew like Father Abraham. And you have to be circumcised like Father Abraham and believe in the Lord to be saved. Paul says Abraham was saved before he even became a Jew and before the covenant of circumcision was even given. That's what he's trying to do is prove to them salvation is by faith, not by the works of the law. Pretty good arguments, don't you think? Back to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. We're going to have to just... let me see here. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. The Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. The Bible says he was strong in what? Works? Nope. What? Faith. Right? He staggered not at the promise of God. He was strong in his faith. He believed the gospel that God had preached unto him with all of his heart. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And again, listen now. This was when he was a childless, old man. God gave him these promises and he staggered not at the promises of God. That's very, very important. He was 99 years old when God gave him the covenant of circumcision. Okay, so now back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's pretty amazing. Verse 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Let me just ask you a question. If you're of faith, raise your hand. Okay? If you're saved, you're of faith. The Bible says the same are the children of Abraham. See, yeah, but I'm not a Jew. Spiritually, you are a son or daughter of Abraham. Spiritually. Remember when the Bible says that he took him out and told him, look at the stars? He took him out. He talked about the sands of the sea. The sands of the sea being earthly. The stars being heavenly. Abraham was going to have multitudes, untold multitudes of physical children. When you think about the Jews and you think about the Arabs throughout history, you think that's untold multitudes? And then what about every single person that trust Jesus Christ as their Savior down through the ages? The Bible says that marks it down, he's a son of Abraham. Mark it down, he's a daughter of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. So does Abraham spiritually and physically have like the stars of the sky and like the sands of the seashore, innumerable children? Descendants? Yeah, God doesn't lie, does he? So thank God, hey, we are spiritual seed of Abraham. Spiritually, I'm a son of Abraham. Spiritually, I'm a daughter of Abraham. I'm sorry, you are, you ladies. I'm not a daughter, okay? I'm a man. Mark it down, all right? I'm not coming out tonight, okay? Men, women, male, female, that's all there are, male, female, okay, in the human race. You're a son or a daughter of Abraham if you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Aren't you glad about that? Now, here's what's amazing. We didn't look at all of the book of Romans, but you look at Romans 11, 12, 13 in there. I'm sorry, 9, 10, and 11 in there. And it talks about how that we have been grafted in to Israel. Okay, to the Israel is the tree. We've been grafted in. Aren't you glad that God let Gentiles get in on the program? Aren't you glad God let Gentiles, even before there were Jews, get saved? I sure am glad. Now, Abraham, we call him the father of the Jews, but at this time, he was still a Gentile out there. Look at Romans 11. I just talked about Romans 11, but look at it if you would. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 6. And we're going to finish up here in just a minute. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 6. Romans 11, 6 says this, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So it's not both. It's either one or the other. How can anyone say they believe the Bible and know the Bible and still insist upon salvation being by human effort? I would say they either don't believe the Bible or they definitely don't know what it teaches. Because when you see that right there, I'm thinking of Titus chapter 3 and verse 15. Look over at Titus, if you would. Titus chapter 3. I said 15. It's Titus chapter number 3 and verse 5. Titus is after 2 Timothy. Titus was a letter written to Titus by Paul. And he says, Titus 3, 5. Titus 3, 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, is that not plain? "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. And so Paul is taking this argument to the Galatians and showing them that the Judaizers are lying to you. Not even Father Abraham was saved by keeping the works of the law. So isn't that good? I like studying this, and I learn a lot myself as we go through here. But look, just take the Bible for what it is, the Word of God. Don't try to explain it all away. Don't try to say, "Well, I heard or I thought that the gospel, they didn't know what it was back then." Well, you learned something tonight. He knew what the good news of Jesus Christ was, obviously, because the Bible says God told him, right? So what we got to do is put out our prejudices, put out all these things we hear if they don't line up with Scripture, and just believe the Bible. We believe the Bible is the literal Word of God, every single bit of it. And it teaches that Abraham, as a Gentile, was saved by grace through what? Faith. The Bible makes that very, very plain. Well, thank y'all for coming tonight. Miss Vicki's going to come and play. I hope the Lord showed you some things tonight. I hope he's taught you some things tonight, maybe cleared up some things tonight. And I know that as I was studying this, I was once again just reminded of all these scriptures and what a blessing they are, and the truth of the fact that salvation is all of God, every bit of it. All we do is repent of our sins, and by faith trust Christ as our Savior. I sure am glad that it doesn't depend on me, but everything, he's worked it all out. He's finished the work of redemption. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us these teachings. And Lord, we know that you revealed all of this yourself to the Apostle Paul. And now he is writing it down and revealing it to us. And Father, we do thank you for giving us this truth. Help us, because of being here tonight, to be able to help others understand that salvation is by grace and through faith and that not of works. And I pray, Lord, if you've spoken to hearts, worked in hearts tonight, I pray that we'd respond accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen. As Miss Vicki plays, let's all stand, if you would, please. As Miss Vicki plays, if God did a work in your heart, spoke to you tonight, showed you something tonight, I pray you'd respond to the Lord. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight, and I pray, God, that you would, again, just remember all these requests we brought before you, Lord, and just work in each one of these situations. We do pray that you dismiss us with our blessings and bring us back safely this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Make sure and shake hands with each other before you leave.